Thank you, Christian. That completed a sensational grand finale of VBRF 2011. At least there's sufficient amount of challenge, I think, both mentally and in some ways physically, to all of us. It appears like we are pushed further and further in our uncomfort zone, if you like. Just before EBRF, the EBRF conference, I led an excursion of 5 growth enterprises to the Silicon Valley in around mid-November. And this was an extensively intensive exercise, very rewarding one also. I learned a lot, and I hope everybody who took part in this expedition also had a lot of takeaways. I shared one of those takeaways with you in the foreword of the Book of Abstracts. It is one of those readings that you typically do not actually pick up and read. But this time I put some of my soul into the foreword, so that's why I'm making the note of that little text there. I only make one note from there, and I thank Paul for having read it, actually. I met a very special person, a special someone there, several of them, but one in particular, a lady game changer, a serial entrepreneur from Wisconsin, who actually flew all the way to Silicon Valley just to meet us, recommended through a bridge of trust. And it was like some magic when we met, and she actually turned ill, but she still wanted to see us, so we had a breakfast meeting. And just when we got in the table, I was there with my super team, we got to in the introduction part to myself, like, who are you, could you just tell a little bit of your background? It so happened that in 2 meters from me, just around the table, some guy came to the head of the table. Mikko Ruohonen, professor of University of Tampere, was there. Hi, Marco, what's up? You know, you're here. So I was able to say, well, my story starts with this guy. You know, he was in the board of EBRC when I started in academia. And then where's the next guy? Well, it was like just an interesting thing how world is small. You meet people and you can kind of build on stories. Kelly Fitzsimmons then afterwards nailed her own observations from the world by saying that she's been fortunate that she has learned from very particular individuals, and I feel the same way personally. Mikko Ruohonen is one of those individuals who was an enabling person for me. He was in the board of directors of EBRC. It was a time when we created this conference, 10 years ago. So he was an enabling person. Without individuals like him in the board, I could have never led the exercise. And without the team around me at the time, 10 years ago, we would never have achieved any success. And I must say, without that kind of setting, I would have never continued in the academia for 11 years. But I will come back to that eventually. Now I'll go back to Kelly's sort of a insight about success. What makes someone successful, and what are the ingredients of success? We all want to know it, I hope, in whatever our walk of life is. But particularly if we are into trying to understand, either just for our own fun, because we are paid to figure out, because we need to teach someone, or because we try to create great companies. For whatever reason it is that we want to figure out how can we successfully build global businesses, we should be interested in the ingredients of success. And Kelly said that, yeah, she has been very fortunate. She has learned from very special individuals a lot, and she has had great many mentors and gurus around her. And then she started about to kind of nail it. She said, the greatest entrepreneurs will be the most successful that she knows. They are all similar, absolutely similar. But funnily enough, they are similar in only one way. They are not similar by gender. They are not similar by size. They are not similar by age. They are not similar by height. They are not similar by the color of their skin. They are not even similar by the background of the education. They are not similar by the family background. They are not similar by their personalities. There are nice guys there. There are assholes. Equally many in guys who are very successful. So how then are they similar? There's one common denominator among all of them. And Kelly put it like this. It is their ability, their willingness and ability to tolerate uncomfort. Being away from their comfort zone, tolerate uncomfort for unreasonably long periods of time. And she repeated that, unreasonably long periods of time. And this really touched something inside me. It's not that I thought that I may have hope, because I had just thought that my time is up with academia. I cannot tolerate this uncomfort for more than 11 years. I don't know if that's enough, but it's my fair share. I've given my everything for a full-time role in the academia. I had the pleasure of serving as a professor towards the end of it. And great accomplishments, thanks to a fantastic team and thanks to special people around me from around the world. This has built in me great belief in true ability to co-create. But what does it really take, the extra step, the extra mile to actually go forward from here? What is impossible to do within academia? Within academia, you are 100% employed by university, and that is then the ticket. You cannot at the same time be entrepreneur. You cannot at the same time be team entrepreneur. You cannot at the same time be on that side of the table, because it today is impossible. I personally think, and I've shared this with Alf, maybe this is one of those things. Thank you all for having left, but I may point to our disagreements a little bit. I say that why can't we outsource some of the academic knowledge creation? How dangerous an idea is that? If you are a professor, you are employee of a university, and you do your business, create your knowledge and knowing, that is comfortable. Is it that we own this person who is 100% employed by the university? And that's why it's kind of okay. What if this person is an entrepreneur and is outsourced somehow and is producing knowledge as an entrepreneur? Does it make this person less committed to university? Does it make this person less committed to knowledge creation? At least the system thinks so. At least the tradition thinks so. So we have some dangerous ideas. We look forward to sharing with all of you those ideas, but perhaps there's a limit to which we can push it in the context of a conference. But anyways, as we've seen, and we've proven, the ones who've been here through the two-day exercise, we truly can play the global game together. Many elements of the global game. People from several continents have met here, co-created together, I think believed, built trust and built, let's say, bridges towards the future. Perhaps even sense of partnership. Perhaps the courage to take that step to partnership. Time will tell. What I've prepared is a few concluding slides for EPRF 2011 Global Business Creation Games. This is the final session. It is about victory ceremonies. It's about closing of the exercise. Maybe I went the wrong direction here. Okay, what's happening? Okay, Global Business Creation Games. it's a game, it's game time, there's game time, then there is also the victory ceremony time. This year, we sort of like were rather brave. We did not just, or primarily, let's put it this way, we did not primarily reward academic excellence. A year ago when we established Global Academic Cup, we highlighted academic excellence, but we still required significant societal impact from the proposed research. This year, we went a bit further. We required on-the-spot performance from the scholar in ecosystem-level exercise for us to be picking up the winner. So, looking back, sorry about the typo, after the Mezzo Award 2010, there's a typo. I was so excited about Alf Rehn's presentation that I made this typo, I'm sorry. Because this is when he said that he disagrees with me or something. The Mezzo Award, the first prize, historically was overwhelmingly won over by Professor Trubas Biswas of IIT Kharagpur and his team. In Nokia, I put it down there. It's the city of Nokia. That fit well there. Congratulations still once more, Trubas. Is there any chance, my friend, to interest you to give us a few words? Just, you know, free words, because you haven't prepared a... Thank you for not having prepared a 40-slide presentation, because you always have an overkill. So now I surprise you by inviting you to share just a few words of the meaning of the award and what was there. Of course, we've been all hearing in on the health kiosk earlier, but just with a few words.
Yeah, thank you to all of VBI organizers, Marco and our team. I'll only say one word, actually, which Christian keeps talking, and that it's not that whether we succeed or not, it's when we succeed. That's one of the few words I'd like this flow to remember. It has been quite an inspiration. Life is full of surprises. Nothing happens straightforward. Otherwise, we won't be required. We'll all be jobless. However, it has been a challenge to find homes for such thoughts away from home. And this Mezzo Award last year, 2010, actually helped us to build our team. The team is still rudimentary. A lot needs to be built. We are trying to show you some of the demo of the two kiosks, I think about an hour back. And there are a lot of people. I mean, we have inspired about 70 to 80 people and numerous students and a lot of people here in Finland and a lot of people here back in India. So I think it's a great exercise. The games, as we call it now, started last year itself. And I would thank Marco and his team and everybody else to keep going.
So the baton is about to be moved forward. So we give you the GFP Award 2011. And it's named after our very own Global Faculty Partners for Problems Worth Solving, LP. The baby born, global baby born, born global, launched during this conference. And during this conference, you all have been invited as co-founders, and technically you will be invited in a matter of perhaps hours, if not 12 hours. So the sponsorship technically will be this year one GFP co-founder limited partner interest, €300, sponsored for the victorious author. Now, with out for the dude. These are the shortlisted candidates for the Global Academic Cup, GFP, award 2011. Research by Benoit Montreux, Jean-François Rouget, I believe, Jan Simon and Diane Paulin, the physical internet and business model innovation. Number second shortlisted one in alphabetical order by the lead authors, Mikko Ruohonen, Markku Turunen, Himantri Das, Gururai Mahajan. Mobile voice service deployment for developing countries, case rural India's bottom of the pyramid. And as a third, in alphabetical order by lead author, Malcolm Smith, Robert Warren, Mavis McRae. The Stu Clark Center for Entrepreneurship, the case of creating tomorrow's global entrepreneurs. Shortlist. Where's the fanfare? Da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da. We go forward. How far do we go? Winner of the Global Academic Cup GFP Award 2011 by way of a crowdsourced playmaker decision. This year, we did not have such a jury process like we had a year ago. This year, we had playmaker decision crowdsourced with the research session chairman and chair ladies. And after considering both classic academic contribution of the proposed research and the ecosystem level exercise contribution, the winner in full consensus by the playmaker decision this year is Benoit Montreux, Jean-François Rouget, Jan Simon, Dan Paulin, the physical internet and business model innovation. Let's give a big hand. So the prize goes to Canada, and I'm sorry for all those who didn't want it to go to Quebec, where the French speakers speak. Live. This time it was perhaps at the last moment, the last meters, a fight between the Canadian French and the Canadian English speakers. Benoit left because he was not so certain that he would win. Actually, he didn't put his chances on it. He kind of left. But his contribution to the energy exercise, we knew he had to go today, so he put all of his eggs in the basket yesterday, and he had a great contribution to the ecosystem level exercise, and also his proposal and his team's proposal for the research is deemed to be significant and totally on the ticket for what was called for as a let's say bold proposition for a global game. So unfortunately Ben is not here, but he's, I'm certain, happy to collect the prize for his team. Congratulations, Ben, once more if you are watching us. So I have had the habit of saying this sentence ever since the first TPRF, which took place in Tampere, in the Tampere Hall, 2001. And I don't know, I just came and landed on this sentence, and it became my EBRF sentence. And it's very simple. I just figured out just to say that there's an end to every good thing. There's an end to every good thing. There's also an end to this great thing that we've shared together for the past two days. So the Global Business Creation Games, the first event under this name, is now coming to conclusion. We came here with some troubling questions, problems that we had defined in our minds. Some of us were doubtful about the whole idea of the conference, the name and the context and everything about it. Some of you will go home preparing to send hate mail if you already didn't. Maybe maybe you consider this option, because it might make us look good, at least in the mirror, if you get hate mail, now that we hear that it's a prospect for success if you get hate mail. So anyways, I hope you have enjoyed the gathering. We certainly, the organizers, I must say, we put our best effort into conceptualizing this to demonstrate what can be done together. We brought our best, you could say, ideas, I think, on the table. And there are several avenues to follow from here. But before the time is up and the final questions are to be posed, I would like to very much like to see Mila and Anna-Maja on the stage. Mila, Anna-Maja, where are you? Ladies behind this whole deal, you know, they do all the work and they get least of the spotlight. And I also have been myself so preoccupied that I actually did not realize that these two young ladies, please come down. These both are very, very young ladies, but in particular, the other one is very young. I always thought so. But she's now been singing funny songs lately. I think this is still very, very, let's say, topical. Mila, it has just turned 3-0. And before making anything, I propose, I will propose to you something very dangerous. I propose we all stand up, and that we will stand up and we will sing a particular song, and the song goes like, happy birthday to you, and we all do this, and we can think of all kinds of nice things that may have been born here, but we sing this to Mila alone, thinking of other things, hopefully. Because everything works for you behind the scenes. I wanted to only now pull Mila and Anna-Maja. There are many, they are playmakers, they are all, the whole team is here. Let's leave it at this, the thanks. I mean, I would have to thank myself also, and that's pathetic. So, we have troubling questions. Taneli Tikka nailed it by saying that we produce individuals as problem solvers, engineers with calculators, and everybody just tries to do it a bit better than the other guy, a bit cheaper guys, and like that. But the actual challenge or art is to define the problem. And if you define your own problem, that's a meaningful problem, then you own the solutions to it. And that's like very nicely put. So the question for our conference is, where do we go from here? That is the question we all ponder always after EBRF conferences. If sometimes have had our game plan so sorted out that we were able to say what happens like next year. But often I have not wanted to say it or need it, because I would rather sell it to the highest bidder. And now I have the feeling that actually I can also next year sell this to the highest bidder. This would be the first, of course. But well, the old question, the more, let's say, the very, very famous question posed by Prince Hamlet of Denmark, as proposed, as designed artistically by Shakespeare, to be or not to be. That's also the question for EBRF, has been for a long time already. It kind of still is. to be or not to be? Do we need this kind of conference, this conference? So we blow it totally. That's the old question. So what is the new question? I'm really getting down to the bottom of it. To parent or not to parent is our new question. This is the new question. GFP, Global Faculty Partners for Problems We Are Solving, is all our concrete opportunity to parent. It will be possible. Very low entry barrier, possibility and way to parenting companies, to getting your hands dirty. Of course, everybody can parent by setting up their own startup, setting up their own company. Everybody can be an entrepreneur and start their own company. But I think everybody should be involved as an owner, as a partner, as a co-owner in a venture. This is a huge step forward. If more people get intimately involved, like Paul was putting it, this is something that you actually have to go under the skin of it. If you want to be relevant as a teacher, if you want to learn as a student, these things you have to get under the skin of enterprising. And this is perhaps a small step, but it might be just a sufficient one. So this is the new question. Basically, the last bit here is what I want to highlight, is that the future of also EBRF is all ours to make. And with these words, I totally thank you for a great conference and great event, and I look forward to co-parenting great ventures with you people and seeing you again at EBRF, whatever it will be called, next year, which comes soon. Thank you, guys.